Praise God. Hallelujah. So you've been learning some things. You've been connecting with your spiritual father more and more accurately, I trust. You're starting to understand that covenant connection. It's something that you grow into. If you've never really had that father-son relationship, it is exciting in the beginning, but I have seen with ourselves, as you grow in that relationship, you start to understand the responsibility on both sides, the son and the father, and that you need to grow into this thing accurately. There needs to be an absolute transparency from the word go. And that's why I said in the beginning, Hebron, a place of covenant, but we're not yet there fully until we've come to a Adullam, where we locked up in a cave with our spiritual father, and we discussed all of those things last time. This thing grows. It's like a marriage. New husband and a new wife, they get to know one another, they court for a while and so on, they get engaged, and then they get married. However, the real working out of the salvation of their soul, the real working out of the covenant, is when you are together. Those of us that have been married for a while understand what I'm saying. And true honesty needs to come. True communication has to come. And sometimes the kind of communication that comes, you know, you think, well, where can I find that in the Bible? You don't necessarily find it in the Bible. But it's the heart that needs to express itself. And sometimes we have condemnation because of that. Yeah, but I expressed my heart and it wasn't very pure and it wasn't very good. But at least the husband or the wife then understands what goes on in your heart. I've said to Annika many times, I said, I operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm not a mind reader. I can't always read between the lines what she intends or what she means when she says something. But it's the same with her. She said the same to me. Jan, I'm not a mind reader. Talk to me properly. Communicate. And so, having been in the military, and my life dependent on communicating accurately and saying what I mean and meaning what I say, I am sometimes very direct and straight, and sometimes it gets taken up, how shall we say, not necessarily by Annika, but people who relate to us, because I'm straight. I've learned over many years of suffering, you know, hardship and pain and so on, because of stupid things that we do. Say what you mean. Then everybody knows where they stand with you. Don't, you know, yes, there's a place for tact, but you know what? When you're in the trenches, when the bullets are flying, when the enemy's darts are coming, then it's not, Justice, do you think maybe, you know, if you find it in your heart, and I really, brother, I don't want to put pressure on you, but do you think maybe, or maybe let me think about it, maybe, you know, there's no time for that. You say, Justice, do that thing. Or Justice, this is how I feel about it. Afterwards, we can then say, well, sorry if I was a little bit tough on you, but it needed to be done at that point. And so that's part of working out of covenant. And if we look at Paul, if you read some of the stuff that he says and the things that he writes to the churches, now we know that he was a spiritual father. But some of those things, if they had to be written to me, I could easily take offense. You see, it's easy for us, yes, but that was Paul and we read about it in the Bible and so on. But we sometimes separate the reality of what they were going through and the reality of what we're going through. We spiritualize it. That's what religion has done for us. But we need to understand that we are not in the sweet by and by, but we're in the ugly here and now, so to speak. This is supposed to be a reflection of the kingdom of God where we are. And that which is not like the kingdom of God, that which does not look like the kingdom of God, it is your job and my job to transform it so that it looks like the kingdom, acts like the kingdom, smells like the kingdom, tastes like the kingdom. But the process to get it there. You see, when you get a flat tire on the highway, is it a nice experience? No, but somebody's got to do the job. And mommy's not going to do it. I have to get out there, and I'm sure we've all been there. These cars come whizzing past you. You can have your hazard lights on and everything. Man, it's like you don't exist. I mean, you shake like that when the car comes past. But somebody has to do that. And so in this process of being conformed to one another and being conformed to the image of Christ, there's a working out. Now, we closed off last time with Paul saying that we must be imitators of him as he is an imitator of Christ. And that was 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 3. Paul says there, be you imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that you remember me in all things. And I think I shared that last time. When Annika and I are sitting in a situation and we've prayed about it and we're trusting God, the thing that we would do is, what will Elijah do in this situation? He's our spiritual father and God speaks to us through that. You know, it's, as I said, what will Jesus do? We've all at some point had a what will Jesus do band on the arm. I'm not really one for those kind of things, but you know, I don't think my wife either, but a lot of people did. But then we sit there, now what would Elijah do? Because he models the Father to us, and immediately we would have the answer. God would just speak through his life to us. So he says, remember me in all things and hold fast the traditions even as I delivered them to you. There are traditions of the faith that your spiritual father over there delivers to you. Her experience, all the years that she's walked with Christ. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So Paul says, even though I am your spiritual father, understand this, that if my life as your spiritual father is not modeled after the life of Christ, then my life is an inaccurate one. Then you should not follow me. So when we talk about fathers and sons, your spiritual father, Christine, who sits there, her life must be modeled after Christ. And she's submitted and connected to men and women who are spiritual fathers and who are in authority, who check her life out and say, Christine, correct that. So that she can accurately model Christ. The moment she stops accurately modeling Christ, then we have a problem. And then you can question. Who do you question then? Say you do have a problem with her. Who are they allowed to go to? Yes, but in the natural, if they need to speak to someone in the natural, I'm sure they know who they can go to. Somebody who you're accountable to. That's how it would work. But I don't believe that that will happen, that you be in a position where you're not going to model Christ. But these are practical issues. Because the first thing people say to us is, yes, but how do we know that they're right? And I shared that with you last time and the previous time. The person, the father, must be acknowledged by other fathers in the body of Christ. Men and women who have walked with God for a long time, who have Christ-like character, and who have approved that person who said, that's also a spiritual father. Now you can model your life after that person, that man or woman. The problem comes in when you follow a man or a woman that is not in Christ or reflective of the nature of Christ or the head. Headship over a spiritual household like this one here is only valid when it mirrors Christ's headship over his church. That's a very responsible job that you have, ma'am.
Yeah.
Even though she's not here, in your heart you know what she will expect of you. We've had that with our children. You know, our own flesh and blood children. Normally at home you have to drill them a little bit and say, now come and do the dishes or pick up the dirt outside or tidy up the garage a little bit. But when they go and visit the friends, we had that with our children. The parents would come to us and say, wow, how did you train these children to be so hardworking, and they tidy up the house and they help them with the dishes. And then we say, are you talking about our children? And the Lord immediately spoke to me and he said to me, yes, because they know the heart of the Father in the natural. So we also know the heart of the Father in heaven, who is manifested through your spiritual father here. So you know what your spiritual father wants. So you're not going to shirk on that. Yes, but what if Christine finds out I didn't do that? I'd want her to come back after a week and say, well done, good and faithful sermon. Wow, that's good, you did that. Paul writes about imitating him. Remembering him in all things, holding on to the things he delivered. Then he says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And this is what it says in that last section of those verses. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Important, important, important. All of our lives should be modeled after Christ. But God raises up spiritual fathers, someone who must lead. Someone who has a mandate from God. History proves it. You can read right through the Bible. It's always like that. Even in the natural world, it's like that. The computers you used, the software, if you're not using open source software, you're using Bill Gates' software. He's a spiritual father in a sense. He's an apostle in a sense because he pioneered something which you and I can use to our benefit. And it's not just for our benefit. This thing has changed the world. He's a pioneer. He's an apostle. He's a special messenger. He came with the message of the PC. If you go and read his life story, he first went, I believe it was to IBM or a company like that, and he offered it to them. And they laughed at him. They scorned him out of the office, basically, and said, that'll never work. Nobody will ever have little computers on their desks. And what do we have now? They're tiny. They call telephones, cell phones. And, I mean, that does everything that the old XTs and more. So he pioneered. He saw something. And that's what a spiritual father can do. And that's in the natural. There's the Richard Bransons of this world, etc., etc. Nelson Mandela, an apostle.
All forgiveness and peace.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an apostle. He paved the way. Now, a lot of people will not like what I say about him, but he's an apostle. He made the way. He saw the vision. He saw the picture. We saw a couple of minutes last night of when he with François Pinault with the World Cup. The whole nation came together and they were showing, even in Soweto in the streets, little black children were going nuts. I mean, they'd never actually watched a rugby game before. And they were just jumping up and down and carrying on. That is powerful. That's an apostolic grace. Now, whether he understands that or not, it doesn't matter. We understand what fathering is. It's a very, very important thing to understand what spiritual fathering is and to be spiritual sons. And remember, the end result of that is for you and I to become spiritual fathers as well, with people relating to us as sons, so that we can bring them into the fullness and the maturity and the likeness and the character of Christ. It's good, you can go to church on Sunday, but you do not have personal interaction with the pastor in the front. You don't. Face it. And I'm not against church at all. We are the church. We are having church this morning. It's the gathering of the saints. But in a group like this, with a spiritual father like that, there's more personal interaction. Can address something in your life and say, okay, I see you struggling with that thing. You know what worked for me? Why, you also struggled with it? Yeah? Wow, I always thought you were so perfect. No, you move on towards perfection. Remember we looked at Hebrews. Let us move on from the elementary things. Let's move on towards perfection. So somebody who has attained perfection, who has allowed Christ to be formed in a certain area, can minister to us, can model it to us, can show us right here. It's one thing to read about Paul 2,000 years ago. Oh, well, that's, yeah, but they were the special 12, and then there was Paul. And when it's modeled right here, it has a powerful impact. And that's what we talk about. Hook into your Father's grace, because grace is Christ. Hook into the measure of Christ that's been formed in your spiritual father. Imitate that. That which you see that is Christ-like, imitate that. That's what Paul was saying. Hook into my grace. I mean, I remember right in the beginning when I first connected with the spiritual father, I was talking like him, I was ministering like him, I was standing like him. I even wore the same kind of shoes, I wore the same suits, I tried to comb my hair the same way. But what do little children do? What did your children do when they were small? Mine were trying to wear my shoes and wear my pants and stand like me, you know, little girls, swing their hair like mommy, even though there was no hair. You know what I'm saying? But it's beautiful. It's beautiful because they see something that they want to be like. What do we see in a spiritual father? I mean, when you get together with us, with our spiritual sons, you'll know they are our sons because they sound like us, they have the same passions, they have the same concerns, they have the same vision, the same dreams. They sound like us. If you've seen them, you've seen us, the Father. So when people look at us, they should see Christ, because it's been modeled to us. And so he starts manifesting in us and through us. Right. This journey with our spiritual father, which we're all on, and even your spiritual father is on a journey with her spiritual father, to a place called Zion. Now, spiritually speaking, we are in Zion, in the place of rulership, in the place of government, because we're in Christ. But here in the natural, does it look like Satan is under our feet?
No.
No. We're growing into that place of authority. And at times, we see the glimpses of it. I mean, sometimes I've prayed, and not even a very powerful prayer, and things just happen. And other times, nothing seems to happen. Because some way I'm not accurate. I'm not hearing accurately. So I'm in a journey to come to that place where I hear accurately, where I speak accurately, where the will of God manifests completely in and through me. Where it's Christ living his life in and through me. Totally. Without me standing there thinking, well, I wonder if this is the Lord. No. You just are the Lord in the earth. Remember what I said about the glove. The glove has no life of itself unless the hand comes in. We are the glove. And that's a very difficult thing to do for us because we have a fear of letting go of the control. Because the Lord might want me to do something which I don't want. Well, if you're dead in Christ, it's not going to matter anyway. But it's that coming to that place where you die to yourself. And remember, we spoke about that. Dying to yourself is just giving up your own agenda. But it's a tough thing. If you've been living in a certain way, a certain lifestyle, in a certain town, and God says to you, I want you to give all of that up. And it's confirmed, obviously, through a spiritual father, and it's completely from God, and now you're going to go and live in another country even. God sends you to China. It's not an easy thing to do. And I'm not saying God's going to do that here. But imagine that. God says, now, give it all up here. Sell up everything that you've got. Leave everything behind. Your culture, your people, everything. Go to China. Embrace those people, their culture, their language, everything, as if it's yours. There's a death that has to be died. Because you will long for the flesh pots of Egypt. Oh, but if I could just go to the mall where I can understand people. I don't know what these people are saying to me. And that food they gave me last time looked like something that crawled out from under a rock. And we've seen those documentaries, haven't we? Okay. We are talking about moving towards Zion. It's a journey. The need for us as spiritual sons to journey with our spiritual father is imperative. Because there are processes that take place. There are circumcisions that take place. There are parts of our character that get exposed. The light of God comes and exposes things that are not Christ-like. So we need to journey to get to that place. In our journey, using David as the example, as the paradigm of a spiritual father. And we're looking at his journey with his men from Adullam to Zion. And in between there are many little towns. And each little town has a spiritual meaning. Nothing in this book is without meaning. It's a prophetic book. Every location, every little word. Jesus said not one little jot or tittle will pass away. Everything, there's meaning behind it. So when we're tracking David and his men, let's apply it to our lives. Now, in our journey with our spiritual father, we will go through similar things. We will go through a range of spiritual locations and experiences, all of which are essential for the full maturing of the father-son relationship. And also, these things are key in our lives. They unlock things so that we can get to that fullness of that place called Zion, the ruling position in life. Again, I'm saying spiritually in Christ, you are in that position. But we are working out our salvation. We are growing in Christ. Christ is being formed. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. So there's still a process of him being formed. Where? In your soulish realm. Not your spirit. Your spirit, man, contains the fullness of Christ. But the mind of Christ must manifest in your thinking. And that's why the renewing of the mind, Romans 12:1-2, is a continuous process. You see things differently from a year ago and 5 years ago and 10 years ago because you've started seeing more of Christ and his way of doing things and his way of seeing things. So we will track the movements of David through 13 locations, from his flight from Saul as a fugitive from Adullam until he is crowned king in Hebron and ultimately settles and rules from Zion. Names and places in Scripture are not simply descriptive names. They identify places or people. Geographical locations symbolically depict spiritual realities or experiences, and as such represent a spiritual condition, a quality or a posture that one attains to. Journeying represents progression or movement from one level to the next, with each location building on the previous one. There must be spiritual growth. There must be increase in your life. There must be increase of grace. There must be increase of Christ like this. There must be increase of the glory of God in your life. And so these experiences are positive experiences, although they may not always feel like positive experiences. Spiritual sons must journey with their spiritual fathers through a range of different experiences. And if you've been here for any length of time, then you've already experienced some of that with your spiritual father. The place of Zion is a place of rest. So there's a journeying that takes place with our spiritual father, and the purpose is to get to Zion where we rule and reign, which is a place of rest. We have that place of rest already in the spiritual realm because Christ is our place of rest. But in the natural, That place of rest will manifest in a way where you will stop striving, that everything that you need will be amply supplied without you having to labor for it. Your faith will just work. See, what we're doing now, and this is what the grandparents of this ministry have taught us, we believe God for things. We're always reaching forward and we're trusting God for more. We increase our faith. We meditate the Word of God. But there comes a place in Christ where the perfection of Christ starts manifesting in us and through us. And it just starts happening. The fullness of His grace starts happening. When you open your mouth and you speak something, it happens. You speak things into existence, it just happens. And I know we have glimpses of that. I know we've all spoken to situations and spoken things, and they've just happened. But imagine being in that position all the time. No more striving, no more laboring. It's just happening. The will of God is just happening in you and through you. You're ruling and reigning. Now that is where we're going. And that's something that has to manifest in the natural over here. The place Zion is a stronghold, a fortress, a place where we've overcome, a place which we've attained to. And we will have rest from all of our enemies. Now in Christ, you have rest from your enemies, don't you? Yes. Can He touch you? No. But what do we see in the natural? There's still the results of the fall. The things that are negative in the world, they are still the results of the fall. But if the fullness of Christ is manifested and come in our lives, none of those things will touch us. In fact, when we walk into a situation, things will just change like that. They will actually change because we're there. Now, yes, we are seeing that. But we're not yet seeing the fullness of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. We're not yet seeing that. We're not yet seeing where an entire region is changed because of a group of people, just by being there. We're not even saying, oh, they're praying and they're doing warfare. No. They're just there because the fullness of Christ dwells there. A friend of ours, Apostle Frans du Plessis, he's from Durban. He was at Cape Town Airport not so long ago, a month or two ago. And it was, I believe, late at night or something. If you've been to that new airport, you can get lost in that place, especially since you wouldn't know it as well as you know this O.R. Tambo one here. There were not a lot of people. Now, you know those airport buildings are big, and so if you see somebody, they're over there in a corner somewhere. So he's walking to meet his wife and his son. He's walking down this large corridor, and about 10 meters away, there's a man sitting there. And as he's walking past him, he notices a man out of the corner of his eye. All of a sudden, the man just starts jumping and screaming, and he says, my ears have opened up, my ears have opened up. The man was deaf in both ears. And so Franz just carried on walking, and he couldn't understand, why is this man shouting and saying, my ears have opened up, and my ears have opened up. He realized he had something to do with it, but he didn't put the two together. This man walks in a level of the glory and the grace of God that he couldn't even understand that it was because of Christ in him that the man's ears opened. He walked all the way, met his wife, and then he sat with his wife and he said, the strangest thing happened to me. And only then did he realize that the man's ears opened up because of the presence of God upon his life. Now, if you meet Franz, if we were talking about it this morning, I mean, if anybody's dead to himself, that man is. It's like when you look into his eyes, it's like looking into the eyes of Jesus. I mean, it's an amazing experience. I mean, it's very powerful. And he speaks to nature. If he needs to shoot a buffalo, he says, well, the buffalo is going to be there. And then, boom, there is the buffalo. And then he shoots it. And then everybody else is jealous. But why couldn't we shoot one? He says, well, because what I say happens. Very powerful. He's a spiritual father that is demonstrating something to us. The last time we saw him 2 weeks ago, neither one of us could even speak to him. I went to hug him, and the glory of God was just so on him, I just burst out in tears. I could not speak to him. Same with my wife. It's a very powerful experience when somebody comes to that place where they get totally yielded, and you can't tell the difference anymore. You can't even come near them, and it's just presence of the Lord. Powerful. They have come to, or they're starting to come to that place of rest. They come to that place of Zion. I mean, at times, his house is just full of, there's this money lying around everywhere. People just bring money. Money just comes. They lost their parrot, Leafy.
Leafy?
Yeah. And they say, and the children were small then, and he said, Leafy, kom terug. And I think 2 weeks later or something, Leafy comes back. Powerful. Men like that, and women like that, are entering into that place of rulership and rest, where it's Christ living his life through them. People are just being set free. The devil doesn't even feature anymore there. Nothing. They just walk in and he sees them coming, man, he goes. And if he's in somebody, he says, have you come to torment me before my time? Because they can't discern, well, is this the real Jesus or who is this? Yeah, that's where we're getting to. Amen. That's an absolute place of rest, where our minds are so transformed, where we are so transformed on the inside. All the issues have been dealt with. It's just Christ. Just oozes out of them, the love of God. That's where we're looking to get to. That is Zion. It's that stronghold. We have rest from all of our enemies. From Adullam to Zion, we will pass Hebron again. And that's the place of full alliance and covenant. You cannot get to that full place of Hebron unless you first come to Adullam. And we've discussed that. We might get to Hebron, but we can never have the increase that comes with it if we are not joined to a spiritual father accurately from the start, from Adullam, from when the times are tough, when our hearts are being circumcised. That God-ordained spiritual father through whom we get our nourishment. What nourishment am I talking about? The Word of God. That one that speaks the Word into your life. You're so attracted. Remember I said before, you have this fatal attraction. Yes, we listen to other men and women of God. We go to a ray on a Sunday maybe or whatever. We listen to people. We watch them on TV. But there's this one person. There's this one person that when they open their mouths, it just does something to you. That's the person. The spiritual father nourishes you like that. For all of us, Adullam was the start of that covenant relationship. But we did not fully understand what it meant. That's why Hebron is sort of halfway through that journey. We start cutting covenant, but we only understand later on what it means. And it's from that beginning, from that place of Adullam. Remember I shared last time, imagine us being locked up in this room for 2 or 3 weeks. Then you're going to find out who's in covenant and who's not in covenant with you. And so that's the place we have to come from. That's where we start experiencing. That's where we start tasting what it is to be in covenant with someone. Beginning for myself and for Anika was that place of Adullam. There's this working out. There's this chafing in a sense. It's like a bull or some kind of animal, a horse or something, gets put in front of a cart or a wagon and it's new to them and it tends to chafe them in the beginning. And they need to get used to walking in that yoke. And so when you start with a spiritual father, it's not always easy. But it's a journey. And it gets easier as we start understanding more what it's about. We will get to a higher level of covenant at Hebron. But that comes, and I shared that last time. Individually we connect with the spiritual father. But corporately we connect with one another together and with the spiritual father. And that brings unity. And that's where unity of faith is, and unity of purpose, and unity of mandate. But that comes a little bit later. Because together we walk with the spiritual father, and individually our spiritual father deals with us, and our issues are sorted out. And so in between us, issues are sorted out. And later on comes that depth of covenant. We cannot truly embrace the full covenant of Hebron, that full unity, until we've properly started at the Adullam. If we want to overcome, if we want to manifest that rulership position, if we want to manifest Zion in the earth, we have to follow the journey. And we definitely have to come to that place of fullness of covenant, which is Hebron. But to do that, we must come to David. And there's your David. David is the spiritual father. That's the one in the scripture we're going to model after. The question we have to ask at this point, have we really come to David? Anika and I have come to David. We know who our David is. And we eternally thankful to the Lord for our David. I don't know all of you so well. Have you come to your David? Because our journey is starting now. Maybe you do know who's David in your life.
I think they all know David.
Okay.
I'm sure they do. Why would they not be here?
They wouldn't be, yeah.
No, I mean in their personal life, yeah. They all have identified their David.
Okay, good.
I'm sure. They know who they go to and who they speak to.
But it's always good to revisit, because things in the world are not going to get easier and we need to be connected. The time of the Lone Ranger out there, it's over forever. Not saying that you are Lone Rangers, but we've all seen them, people running around on their own. And so we need to look at our lives, whether we, you know, are sluggishly connecting or are we passionately connecting? Are we accurately connecting with our spiritual father? Or are we a little bit hesitant? And we need to find out from ourselves. Look into your heart. Trust the Lord to show you why you may be hesitant in some of those things. We need to be wholeheartedly at Adullam. We need to be wholeheartedly with the spiritual father in that place of confinement, adullam, with the enemy raging outside, and here we are now. What now? Are we ever going to see the light of day again? Perfect your sonship before you go further on. Make sure this is it. I've committed. This is a lifetime commitment. There's no turning back. We have to be connected to our spiritual father. We have to be connected to the head. Genesis 42 verse 1. And we touched on it last time. I said, think about this because it's very powerful. Genesis 42 verse 1. Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, and Jacob said to his sons, why do you look one upon the other? You see, they were not looking at their spiritual father. Or Jacob was their natural father, but in a sense he was also their spiritual father. They were looking, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this problem? They did not fully understand that their future was locked up in their spiritual father. Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. Why didn't they see it? Because the spiritual father sees into the future, sees into the distance, sees the mandate, sees the calling. Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, for he is the father that sees the purposes of God. Now we've had some situations where spiritual sons have come to us and said, well, we don't want to do what you want us, what you're telling us to do. Then we say, but we're seeing what's going to happen if you do that thing. But because they don't see it, they're going to do their own thing anyway. And some of them have regretted it. And sometimes they don't always come home to repent. Sometimes they just run away. And guess who's to blame? Dad. As spiritual sons, when we come to a place, an issue in our lives, corporately, instead of us, well, what shall we do? And, you know, like sheep milling around. Let's say, okay, what is our father saying? And let's go by that. See, that's why there needs to be that commitment. We need to know that our spiritual father speaks for God. The Bible in basic English says, now Jacob, hearing that there was grain in Egypt, said to his sons, why are you looking at one another? The contemporary English version says, when Jacob found out there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, why are you just sitting here staring at one another? So the father activates. The father is like a catalyst. He's like the key that turns the motor on. He gives direction. He gives action. He will give practical instruction. As they looked at one another, nothing was happening. When there's not a strong father, like sheep, they will just mill around. You know, the wolf is jumping in and the sheep just, they're just running around and around and around. But the spiritual father comes, gives direction. He speaks the voice of God. So you're hearing the voice of God through your spiritual father. And it doesn't mean that you can't hear God's voice. There's certain times that you don't. I don't always hear. And I've been doing this for many years. And we pray and we're not hearing. And we go and talk to Dad and, poof, like that, he just gives the voice of the Lord. And we actually did hear it, but we didn't recognize it at the time. It is the voice of the spiritual father that activated those sons into the direction which they needed to go. It gives direction. It gives purpose. It gives encouragement. Yeah. You see, when a father comes and says, don't worry, children. It's all going to be fine. Oh, really, Dad? Yes, Daddy promises it's all going to be fine. There's nothing more encouraging, nothing more uplifting. When I remember when I was small, you know, we lived in Kensington in Johannesburg, high on the hills, and the lightning used to strike the electricity out, the stove, the phones and all of that. And if it was in the middle of the night, man, I don't care who you are, it's a scary experience. You know, especially if it hits right on the house or something. Man, it sounds like an atomic bomb going off, you know. And there you run and you're so scared in the middle of the dark, you know, running and diving to mommy's bed, you know. And then what do they say? It's all going to be okay. And then you snuggle up with them and then the storm is gone and, okay, let's take you back to bed. It's awesome. But spiritually, sometimes what we see as sons, we just see darkness. Oh, how do I negotiate this? But the father looks and he sees the light. He sees Christ in the situation and then he helps you to lift your eyes up and oh, wow. How powerful is that? When we together as a household walk with our father then, and together we start seeing what he sees, what does it do amongst the brothers? There's something very special that happens. And I mean, we've got licorice all sorts here, from all the different flavors of our rainbow nation. In Christ, you know what? And I know it's not like that here, and in other places that needs to hear this. But we don't see where we come from. We don't see the background or the skin color or nothing. It doesn't even exist anymore. because you're my brother, you're my sister. We walk together because there's our dad, and we're following our dad, and we're supporting the mandate, and we're supporting the vision. Dad, what can we do? Is there something we can do for you today? And we just, there's just so much unity here. Then there is no more place for bickering, no more place for jealousy and envy and strife and those things that we tend to see sometimes, especially amongst Christians, unfortunately. Yeah, but why is God blessing that one so much? You know what? When we've gotten rid of that orphan mentality, when we know where we belong and where we're connected to, there's no competition anymore. Because then if I see my brother or my sister, well, they're not shaping so well. I'm not going to do what normally happens, you know, you stand on them to try and improve yourself. No, you hook in and say, come, come, come. Come, little sister. Come, little brother. We've got to all go there. We all got to get to Zion. That's what this is about. So,
in Lynette's case, she had to turn 56 first.
She had to turn 56. So, I close with this, and this is powerful. Jacob's vision reunited the whole family. Remember, Joseph wasn't there. They all thought Joseph had died and all of that. But because he was a man of vision, because he was a spiritual father, eventually they all ended up in Egypt, and guess what? The whole family was reunited again. And that's a powerful promise for those of us who have family members, natural family members, who are not yet in the kingdom, who are not saved. If we are accurately connected there where God has placed us, to a spiritual father, guess what? Those family members will just come in. Because they will see something. It's not even how much you will preach at them. They will see, what is this? There's something's happening to you. What is this? Where do you connect? What church do you go to? And this might be your church. You might not even go to another physical building out there. This might be your church. Because you're doing church 6 days a week, basically. So this is church for you. And we are the church. And they say, but where are you? Where do you fellowship? No, I'm there by Kenneth KCM. Copeland. KCM. But don't you go to church? No, we are church. What do you mean you are church? Well, I'll ask my father if I can bring you in for a morning, and then I'll just introduce you to my family. What? And then they come, and then they meet you guys, and guess what? You don't have to even preach one word. They say, but now how do I become part of this? Mm-hmm. Easy. Just give me your hand. Just pray after me.
Amen.
Amen? So, even the long lost ones, or the ones that we thought were dead, God just brings them together because of the grace of a father. And then that unity comes because the sons listened to the father. Remember, they were looking at one another? And then the father said, no, man, go to Egypt. There's grain there. And God reconnected that whole family. Genesis 42 verse 2, and I close with that. And he said, behold, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. The key here, how do you know the man or the woman is a spiritual father? Because the spiritual father is interested in us. He says,
amen.
Go there and buy for
amen.
Us.
Amen.
Not buy for me so that I can promote my kingdom.
Amen.
Buy for us.
Amen.
He's more concerned about his children, his sons, than about his own well-being.
Amen.
So go think about that one. We'll take up there next time. Father, we thank you that you are the Heavenly Father who absolutely models kingdom to us. Lord, you were so interested, so in love with us, that you gave yourself in your only begotten Son. And so, Lord, in turn, we've become sons. And so, Father, we thank you that we hear your voice clearly. We hear your voice clearly through a spiritual father. We hear your voice clearly through the voice of the Spirit. And when we hear the voice of a father, Lord, there's just a grace release. There's just a warmth that envelops us. And we know that we belong. We know that we're part of a family. And that has been your heart's desire always, 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 to have a family, a father with sons who love one another, who connect with one another, who cherish one another, who belong to one another. And so we thank you, Lord, that is kingdom culture. And we continue to release our faith for that. We continue to trust you for the manifestation of that kingdom culture in our lives. Lord, where you are our Father and we are your sons, and Father, we just do the will of our Father. And when people have looked, when they look at us, when they see us, they've seen you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we give you honor and praise for this awesome day. And we are in agreement with all the prayers that has already been gone up to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are God over this day, that you have created this day especially for us. Help us through your Holy Spirit to rejoice in you. We thank you for the word. We glorify you that we will glean from Jan and Annika, Father, and we thank you, Father, that we will become established in it. We give you honor and praise that you have brought us to this ministry for such a time as this,
yes, Lord,
and that we will fulfill our destiny in you, Father. And Father, I thank you as the potential is being unlocked within us, Father, that you will be, you are the key, Father, to all the potential inside of us, that we will fulfill everything that you have predestined for us on this earth. We thank you, Lord, that it is written in your word that the steps of a righteous person, it is ordered of the Lord. And therefore we know you direct our steps, Father, that we will always be at the right place, at the right time, for the right purpose. We thank you for your favor upon our lives, upon this ministry, upon Jan and Annika, and their families and their extended families, Father. We thank you, Father God, because we have favor with you. We find favor with every person we make contact with. And we give you honor and praise that Jesus is Lord of this ministry, of our lives, and over South Africa. We glorify you, Father, that your word will have the last say of our beautiful country, South Africa.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we thank you for our partners and friends. And Father, whatever they sow into this ministry, they will reap a hundredfold return. We thank you for heart connection, Father God, that you have connected them with us, Lord God. And Father, those that you speak to today, Father, that they will not harden their hearts, but hear the voice of the Lord as you direct them, Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that our partners are safe. You've put a hedge of protection around them. That no evil befall them or come near them. That you keep evil men away from them. Father, that the cars that they travel in, it is safe in Jesus' name, Father. And Father, that you watch over their children, Father. Keep evil away from their children in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that our partners lack for no good thing, that their needs are met in you. We give you honor and praise, Father, for the food on their tables, Father. We thank you for the best jobs in the world for them, Father God. We glorify you, Father God, that they always have the best in Jesus' name, and that they walk in divine health, Father, that sickness, disease, germs, viruses cannot successfully settle upon them, that their organs glorify you as it functions in the perfection that you have created it to function, Father. I give you thanks and praise, Lord God, that the joy of the Lord is our part, it is our partner's strength, Father. And when they are joyful, Father God, they are able to resist the enemy, Father. Father God, I thank you that he is under their feet, and they know, Lord, that they are the head and never the tail, that they are overcomers as they overcome but with the word and the blood and their testimony, and they testify of the goodness of God in their lives, in their family life, in the life of their extended family, Father. We thank you, Father God, that they are seated in heavenly places in you, Lord God, and they know their position in you, Father, because they have moved from the milk to the meat of the word, Father, and they are established in your word, Father God, and I thank you that you are the lifter of their heads, Father, that as they focus upon Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, hallelujah, and I give you thanks and praise, Father God, that surely you provide for them every day. It is a promise that they have from you. It's a promise that they stand on in Jesus' name. That their needs are met in you. And we glorify you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.